Hello and welcome to episode 58 of The Green Arrow, an FPL podcast by Fantasy Football Hub, as we head into yet another double game week as Spurs play twice in double game week 32. My name is Fergie and a big welcome to my co-host Adam Hopcroft. I can tell Adam is itching to get his say in, but I'm going to make him wait a few minutes as tonight we have a special guest with us, a fellow Welshman who has one of the best ever FPL records. So with 8 top 10k finishes and 3 top 500 finishes, a big welcome to FPL Matthew from Fantasy Football Hub. How are you, Matthew?
Hi, Fergie. Thanks for the intro. Yeah, very good. Thanks. Just had my vaccine today, so you know, hopefully get back out to the pub soon.
You haven't grown extra arm or anything yet, then, have you?
Not yet, no.
Okay. So you know, Adam specifically requested for you to come on the podcast rather than anyone else, as he was fed up of having the lowest rank on screen every week. So welcome.
Oh. And, how long did it take you to write that one?
How was your game week 31, Matthew?
It was okay in the end. Going into the game week, I sort of thought that I'd probably get a red arrow because I took a hit, which in the end didn't pay off. But and B, I knew a lot of people, you know, good players were playing the wild card this week, so I was up against some you know, good looking teams. So I held off my wild card for, you know, a few reasons. But in the end, I got 54, so minus 4, so 50 net. Salah, captain, pretty standard. You know, got a few points here and there. Watkins came in good. Son and Bamford got a few. But I suppose what made it, you know, more acceptable in the end was Dunk getting his 8 points on the last game. And you know, it's usually been the other way around where I'm doing okay and then players in the last game that I don't have smash it. So, yeah, not bad. I think a small red arrow. But only 5k down to 125k. So
it's interesting.
I would have taken that
because he was one of the players in my team that didn't want before wild card that I fancied to do well. So I think I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised Brighton kept a clean sheet.
Yeah, I think you said that was one when you were talking about not wild card, and you did say I think Dunk will do well last week.
It was one that I thought it was just a little bit too expensive for me to keep, I think, on wildcard because the fixtures weren't particularly great and I didn't fancy risking Veltman.
He always looks like getting a goal as well, to be fair. You know, the clean sheet was great and a couple of bonus, but, you know, he's one of them players that you always fancy him at a set piece.
Yeah, definitely. I'd agree with that. Yeah, I think he's always good for at least one shot. One shot a game, and you know, so yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah,
and Matthew Abdul from the Hub was asking, are you saving your chips for next season?
I probably would if you could. Yeah, I'm not that big a fan of a wild card because I always, like, I'm sure, like half the time I make my team worse when I've ended up playing.
I've done that, you know, so many times over the years, definitely.
You know, I'm gradually improving my team, and then you sort of feel like you've got to do something different.
Yeah,
I can see that cupboard behind you. I think that's where all your chips are stored.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, So, I've sort of got to the point where I was quite happy with my team. You know, most of the players are in some sort of form. You know, and I sort of thought that I could get away without the West Ham and Leicester players that 1 week. And of course, that didn't prove to be the case. So that was the main downside, I think, by not doing it. It was Lingard and Iheanacho, which, I definitely would have got both. And anyway.
Okay. Let's have a look at your team, Adam. So I've got the arrows the wrong way around on the screen. This is actually Adam's team. Adam. Another stormer. You have flown from around 280k to 64k, and is that 3 game weeks? I think something like that. Incredible form.
Yeah. I've had 3 back to back 70 plus scores. I think the couple of points I'll touch on first, because in this time last week I said I wasn't going to wild card, and I think Matt just touched up on it a little bit then, saying he was happy with his team and how it looked, and there were a lot of form players, and that's really how I felt. But I just saw your team, Fergie, and thought, I've got a wild card because he just looks so great. But the obvious omission from my team is I didn't quite trust Davis, and you might notice I went with Vidra, and it was great to... I started him over Son. I felt, even though I was including Son in my wild card, I felt everything that I'd said on the pod. And I did feel that United would keep it fairly tight, given that they'd played, kept clean sheets against the other top four teams away from home. So I thought I'd start Vidra. So yeah, it was a good, a decent week. I probably should have, in reflection, started Holding over Shaw, just purely because Sheffield United are that terrible going forwards. So yeah, I've arguably got, you know, my defence wrong, but overall, pretty much all of the, I suppose, the players that, you know, Iheanacho and Trent did well that I bought in. It was good. Obviously, Vidra got the goal. I didn't own Son the week before, so I solved that problem. And Lingard is the gift that keeps giving. So I feel my team is set up quite nicely for 32. Got maybe another benching headache, but that, I'll take that.
Yeah, the benching headaches are kind of, you know, they're nice to have, really. I'd rather have them and have transfers in the bank rather than, you know, just not have the team you want.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think the other reason for hitting the wildcard button is I thought, irrespective of what I said last week, am I going to go into game week 32 without Son? And I thought, I'm probably not. I think I'd have been a bit stubborn on reflection. I think, you know, it's the right decision to own him. And I thought, well, in that case, I probably want 2-3 transfers in game week 33, because then I can maybe get rid of Son and replace him with someone else. Or at least I've got 2-3 transfers for the blank. And that was my thought process. Obviously, if I didn't wildcard in 32, I wouldn't have had that. I wasn't unhappy with my team. It turned out I was 11 points better off, but then I've probably saved myself a hit, or I would have wildcarded this week. So I think it was a good wildcard, probably one of the best ones I've done, because I'm pretty crap at wildcarding. So it's very rare that my new team beats my old team, so I'll take that as success.
I'm surprised that you're so intent on taking out Son in 33, because Spurs have got Sheffield United and Leeds in 34 and 35. Well, you know, especially Sheffield United game.
I may not do it, but it's not. I want the choice to be able to do it. If the reality is, a lot will depend what happens between now and game week 33. So let's say, for example, there's quite a few players that you know, let's say Mount or Havertz or somebody's looking great. I might take a punt on them as a one-weeker. And actually, because my team's set up, I could do an in-and-out job possibly. So I don't know. Obviously, that was my thought process prior to the wild card. I've warmed a little bit to Son now. So,
I mean, obviously, it's good to think what you might do in a couple of weeks' time, or at least have options in your head. But in reality, so much changes in one game week.
It does.
It can just flip on its head. You know, by then, Son's essential, or, you know, the other way around. You know, it can all change. So,
yeah,
I agree. It's just about keeping your options open sometimes, isn't it?
Well, I think that's the thing. It does keep my options open. I think I just reflected after the pod we did last week, and it was, I'll pretty much, if I wildcard in 32, I'd go for a very similar team to what I would have done in 32.
Exactly. I think in your position, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. And it paid off fairly well. I think that's, I, to be honest, I've, as much as I've enjoyed talking about my team, I've been looking forward to this moment. This has been the moment I've been looking forward to. So, I think we should, let's see how your wildcard team with Keenan Davis did.
Well, my wildcard team, so I was tinkering up until the deadline. I was so torn, and my key decision, and for once, it went for me this week. So it was either Vardy or Trent. It was kind of one or the other, and I was toying and toying. And actually, I had a chat with FFH Will in the afternoon. We were just talking, you know, just about some things with the hub and stuff. And I just said, oh, just while you're on, Will, can I just ask you this? And you know the advice he gave me? He said, and he gave me it in an instant, and this is why he's so, so good. He just said, if you go for Trent and not Vardy, what you'll find is you can get, he said, it'll be much easier for you to get to Vardy quickly if you wanted to than it would to get to Trent. And and that was all it took, was that minute of inspiration. And, you know, obviously kind of as it happened, Trent outscored Vardy anyway, which, you know, which was brilliant. But I'm always one for thinking that, you know, Vardy
quite fortunate
now,
though, that was.
It was fortunate.
I felt a bit unfortunate as a non-wildcarder there.
Exactly.
He had no business being in that position.
No.
And anyway, you know, his poor positioning on his part. But
you're right.
Obviously, he's doing that well. So,
but it went from, you know, a 2-pointer to like an 11-pointer in, you know, in an instant. But Vardy has obviously got four really nice fixtures now, right? But the key miss from my team was Keenan Davis. And it's just because I was having a look and, you know, it was, again, it was kind of a 50-50 between where to put the cheap player. And in the end, I fancied Wood. You know, Newcastle looked awful. As it was, they've actually turned a corner now. So I went for Cody and Wood. But I've already made a -4 this week. So for those who don't follow me on Twitter.
Oh, is this serious? I thought this was just banter.
This is absolutely serious.
This is brilliant.
So on Sunday evening, I watched Lingard play. And the reason I didn't pick Lingard on the wild card, purely because Antonio was out. And I wasn't sure how that would affect West Ham, how it would affect Lingard. How it affected Lingard for me is that he played further forward. He was the furthest man forward, always on the break. He looks absolutely superb. And I kind of had a look at the price and what I need to do to get him in. Because obviously, they didn't play, really played Newcastle. They've got Newcastle, but West Ham's fixtures now wasn't going forward. And I had the exact money to basically do Lingard and Keenan Davis for Chris Wood and Smith Rowe. And it was like, I had to do it that evening because there was a risk of people rising.
Yeah.
So I've actually taken a -4 already to get Lingard in, and now I've got Keenan Davis in, who I should have had
minus
in last
four,
week.
Man.
-4 for Keenan Davis.
It's just incredible. But, that is
faith.
Well,
yeah. Did you not fancy Jared Bowen? You know, playing for the same team, similar position, but also more advanced because of Antonio, arguably a better player, cheaper.
I think that,
you know, Lingard has got on his side form, basically, and how long is that going to last, I suppose.
Yeah, I think with Bowen, you know, I know that Antonio's out, but Bowen has been in and out of the team, and he's been decent. He hasn't massively impressed me, and whereas Lingard has just been unbelievable. And on Sunday...
It's a hot streak, though, isn't it?
It is,
he has had them before.
It is a hot streak, but with his... Yeah. With his ownership. I don't want to talk too much about your ownership and all this stuff, but...
No, I understand. No, I'd have got him, you know, if I was wildcarding,
It was a mistake, which I rectified very, very quickly, basically. And it's interesting, actually.
Yeah, sometimes that's the thing to do, isn't it? Rectify your mistakes quickly. Don't be stubborn.
Look at this now in the chat. David Jack, no point wildcarding him in when you can take a hit instead, Fergie. Absolutely. -4 for Keenan Davis a week after I could have wildcarded him in for free.
Yeah, Davis is better than Bowen, but you got me there. So
As we are live, everyone, please feel free to join in the chat as you are. I've never seen Keenan. I bet Keenan Davis has never seen his own name in light so much in the last week or two. But please feel free to join the chat anytime. Let us know your thoughts on the topics, about the relevant sections. Feel free to ask some questions. Welcome all. My goodness, we are absolutely packed this evening. There's no way I can read through all these names. I'll read as many as I can. Aman24 says, Diego Mara Davis, Anderson FPL, Mitesh, the moment of the season. Remember that minute from the pod. James Richardson, Relic Returns, -4 for Davis. Gavinho99, welcome. Daniel Roberts, Relic Returns, Adam FPL, Jim FPL, Geordie, Guy Parfit, welcome all. Thank you so much for joining us. For any new watchers and listeners, if you haven't subscribed to us yet, please press the subscribe button in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen and set the alert so you don't miss our live streams every week right here on this channel, where we tell you to take hits for non-playing strikers. The only podcast on the airwaves where we give that advice. And also, please hit the like button if you enjoy our content.
So I just hope you haven't cursed Lingard, because
you know what? It was his positioning, and we're going to talk about this now. So our first topic,
of course, we are
confidence, you know, an overperformance. A big part of my kind of, you know, thinking on this, I like to look at a position of a player. You know what? You know, they may not score the points yet. In Lingard, you know, he obviously has, right? But it was his positioning which scared me. If he'd have scored two goals on the break, you know, but for the rest of the match, he didn't look dangerous. But he was always on the shoulder of the last man. He could have easily have scored, you know, one or two more in the second half. But anyway, this evening, we are going to take advantage of Matthew being here to talk some strategy and mindset, of which he is one of the best. We're going to discuss player form, confidence and overperformance, and how this could affect our FPL picks. We're then going to discuss groupthink and influence, and whether it is a good thing or bad thing in the FPL community. We will reveal our double game week 32 teams and plans so far. Adams and I team are looking very similar. We will look at the best captaincy options for game week 32, give the competition results in 31, and look to give away another prize before finally take a look at the top of the Green Arrow podcast mini league. We're getting lots of shouts for who is this now? I saw some in a Davis, Eno, Lionel, Jesse. They love it all. Keenan Davis is now trending. Absolutely. They love Keenan Davis. He's the man. He is the man who's going to bring home the bacon this season. I'm going to finish above Adam, and it will all be because of Keenan Davis. Okay.
I love it, because I think there's 11 or 12 points between us, and that minus four has just helped me even more. So I love it. glad you made that move.
Well, what can I say? Yeah, I know. I mean, it's disappointing, right? But I just thought I didn't want to go another week or two without just going through the pain of not owning. I've got him now. I've taken a hit. All right, it's minus four. You know, I didn't want
to. To be fair, you always say, don't you, if you can't face not owning him, just
get him in. Like, I look at my 11 now for next week, and I don't think I could hand pick a better free hit team, if that makes sense. So I'll take that. So firstly, we are going to discuss player form, confidence and overperformance, how this can relate to FPL decisions. Adam, do you want to kick us off on this subject?
Well, yeah, I think there's been a lot of talk, I think, about the main man himself, Keenan Davis. Jesse Lingard. But there's been a lot of talk about Jesse Lingard, and can he sustain this overperformance? Is there a such thing as form? Where does confidence play a role? And I think it is quite an interesting topic, because I think as a community, as a Twitter community, as an FPL community, as a YouTube community, we talk a lot about data. I think XG and expected data is even more prevalent now. And I think it's become fairly mainstream. And I think we've almost tried to make football very scientific. And I think whilst it has, there's a lot of good things with that, XG in there, I think sometimes we can over analyze and over complicate things. So I'll push it out to both of you. Let's start with Matthew first. I'm just interested to know your thoughts about if we take the likes of Lingard and other players who are overperforming at the moment. You know, is it sustainable? Could he feasibly continue it for the rest of the season? You know, do we have to judge each player on its own merits? What are the other factors that maybe affect that form and confidence?
Yeah, I think I think XG is sort of quite useful, and I think the quality of your team will dictate how much XG a player, an attacking player, should get. And then there's probably two main factors which dictate, whether that player turns the XG into actual goals and assists. And that's A, player, player quality, and B, their confidence. Mm-hmm. And I think confidence and form are probably inextricably linked. So you could have someone like a Messi, obviously the classic example. You know, he always you know, tends to perform or outperform his XG season in, season out. Jesse Lingard, is not Messi, but he's a confidence player, and you know he's done this before two or three times when he's on it, you know, and on confidence, you know, he just seems to come a lot more naturally to him. Maybe he's not thinking about things too much; he's just coming naturally. I think it does suit him. West Ham, the way they play as well. I think, you know, yeah, Manchester United, he was struggling because he was coming up against, you know, low blocks week in, week out, pretty much. He's not a player who can sort of unlock a door. He just wants to sort of, you know, quick break, you know, instinct, do something in the box. That's how I think.
Because you're a United fan, so you're obviously used to seeing a lot of Jesse Lingard over the
years. Not that much lately.
Yeah, but do you think that it's helped him being, because at United he was never the main man.
That's another factor.
The main man factor is a huge one, I think.
For me. I agree.
And I think some people can really, really thrive off that. We always see, there's so many times where you'll see a player who's the main man at one team go somewhere else and it just not work out. So I think there's that dynamic. And I also think the momentum of playing 90 minutes week in, week out, because it was very stop-start at times at United. Do you think there may be factors that have possibly...
Yeah, I think playing consistent minutes is a massive factor for any player. Like, you know, it's no coincidence. You know, you'll see... I mean, I'll just use it like a random example. Fred, you know, was really bad, but he was like in one week, out the next. Well, yeah, he's not going to gel with the rest of the team. Then when he started playing every week, you know, he improved, you know, 100%. Oh, he's not, you know, he's not the best player in the world, but, you know, he started becoming more consistent. So I think that, yeah, I think that's a massive factor. He needs to be playing, you know, week in, week out, and then, you know, the form and confidence comes with that.
Yeah,
I think Sean Thorpe in the chat has just said Lingard is a definite big fish, small pond sort of player, and I get that because I've never seen I'm not United, and I've never really seen a lot of Lingard in the past, but I'm assuming he's generally been outshone by all the kind of, you know, superstars United have had over the years, but I do think. If you'd have seen Lingard playing this last month and you hadn't seen him play before, you know, say he came from abroad, for example, you know, from like, you know, a team in, you know, a lower team in France or Spain, you never heard of him and he'd come on. Do you think our thoughts towards him would be different now in terms of, you know, in terms of whether it is sustainable or not? Obviously, you know, the points he's scoring isn't sustainable week on week. But what struck me last week, the reason I thought I had to have him in was... eye test, so you know, I'm a big eye test sort of person, and I really thrive on making decisions on when I see players kind of, you know, in the box, finishing with loads of confidence, making runs, the last man. You know, you're the kind of person who always looks in a position to score a goal, and you know, I've got to be fair as well, his finishes have been absolutely sublime. He hasn't had tap-ins. He hasn't, you know, scored off a cross or, you know, anything like that. They've been fantastic finishes, nearly every one of his goals.
Which maybe makes it less sustainable as well, though.
That's fair. But with Antonio out and, you know, the nice fixtures, him playing on top of his game, the motivation for West Ham is massively... He's clearly enjoying the football more than he's enjoyed his football in years. Do you think it's sustainable? We're not talking about it being sustainable for 30 weeks. We're talking about being sustainable for maybe 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
Do you think that if you hadn't seen him before, do you think, you know, that you would kind of look at him indifferently or not? Or is it because you kind of know him of old from a few seasons ago, Matthew, you know, just as a United fan?
I think that there is something in that. Like you said, if it was, you know, some player that you never heard of, And I mean, if it was, you know, if he wasn't already a Manchester United player, you can imagine, you know, rumours of Manchester United wanting to pay $50 million for him at the end of the season. He's playing that well, you know. But I don't know. It's just for me, it's just a matter of how long this hot streak goes on for. Not to say like he's going to like completely slump and be useless, but I don't know. Probably once I bring him in, he'll probably stop about then. I would have thought.
So I've got a question then, just based on that. Well, there's a couple of questions actually. Adam, I'll lean this to you first. How do I identify the signs of form to jump on players? Because for me, the key difference between a very, very skilled fantasy football manager and, one who isn't as skilled is the skill to jump on a player before they start scoring these weeks and weeks of points. Mm. What are the signs which you look for jumping on a player?
So the first thing I will say, just to sort of knock the XG argument on the head, I think XG is great. But I think it's a great judge of character of over a longer period of time. So just interestingly, looking at Understat earlier, Jesse Lingard's career XG is 24. He's got 24 goals in the Premier League. But he just happens to have underperformed in previous seasons, and he's clawed it back a little bit this season.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think XG is completely valid, but it's over seasons rather than with FPL. You're looking at 8-10 game weeks at any time, and I don't think you're going to get a lot of anomalies over that period. I think for me, things like body language is important.
Yeah.
Little things like that you can usually tell if a player is in a good moment is if things like the post-match interviews, are they smiling a lot? Are they joking a lot with teammates? You can see stuff with what the teammates are posting on various social media sites, what the manager is saying about the player, what the local media are saying about the player. I think they're all really, really good and useful insights. And I think sometimes we see it as a bad thing in FPL if a player scores a goal with a relatively low XG. Mm. What that must do for confidence. I'm a big believer in confidence, and I think particularly within sport. And I think there's loads of different examples. I think, maybe looking at other sports, but I think if you believe, if you're in that positive mind frame, really, really positive mind frame, you're more likely to do well. I think there's certain players that are going to be consistent. Chicane, your Kane, Bruno, Salah, etc. I don't think they get as impacted badly by, and they don't necessarily have the loss of form. They're just consistent. I think Shearer was the same. He'd have the odd drought, but generally he was very, very consistent. But I think there's certain players, and I think Lingard falls into this category, that he can absolutely thrive in the right scenario. But he needs an arm around him. He needs to be in that positive environment. I think the main man factor helps. So for me, I think a lot of it is, are they scoring at the moment? I think it's a big factor. I really, and it's something that people always say it's point chasing, but I think it's quite important for confidence. And a lot of it's on the eye test. It's a lot of the points that you mentioned earlier.
Now, what do you think, Matthew? Got anything to kind of add to that for when looking at a player to bring in who's maybe not popular? I think is the key part.
Although this season it seems to have been a case where, if a player does well one week, they seem to have followed it up by doing well the next week and the next week. You seem to have been rewarded by bringing in the almost like knee jerk reactions. Which can be a bit frustrating, I suppose, can it? Because it all feels like you have to feel like you're bringing in the player that's just done well. Whereas, like you said, you want to be bringing in the next big thing, which is a lot more difficult. I was going to give another example of another sport, and it's going to sound quite lame, this, but I used to play bowls, indoor bowls, and I played for like a decent level, county level, and it's not the most glamorous sport, but like some days you just like, as you like bowling the ball, like you knew where it was going to end up. You could put it where you wanted to.
I get that.
And it's that confidence then, like, because you've got that bit of confidence and you've done it a few times, it's like the rest of the game, you're still in that zone. Other times, you start off quite badly and it, you know, you don't know where it's going to end up, and it won't go where you want it to. It's definitely, I don't know why, it's like intangible. Like, you can't.
I just want to bring on why. I just want to bring in business a comment. Business chat, sorry, business chat. Business cat has made in the comments about Ronnie O'Sullivan used to call it the big pocket mode.
Definitely.
So when he's smashing them in, the pockets seem bigger. The reason, don't care what people say. There is something. There is a psychology. It's not just sport. When you're performing well, you know, the certain individuals will be a bit more up and down, and I think that is a huge, huge factor. So I think I read an article, I think it was Simon March who won FPL previously, and he writes some really good articles on psychology. And I think he'd put as well about the reason that people can catch up is because, the reason, so people will do well initially, but then the following season, people might catch up with the trend, or, you know, if a team is thrashing a team 4 or 5 nil every week, all of a sudden the other teams that are coming up against them will learn from their mistakes. So I think there is an element of that we will adapt. You know, so if a striker is scoring a lot of headers, maybe there's a way to stop them either getting the supply or, and over time, you know, people will pick that up, but they might have a purple patch short term. So yeah, I think there's a lot of interest. There's been a lot of interesting posts on this sort of subject. I think Zoff as well wrote a really good article, which I read earlier today.
Yeah, I agree. I think just kind of add, I completely get the balls analogy, Matthew. So I play snooker, and I often comment that I know how I'm going to play before I've even reached the snooker hall, and that may sound absolutely ridiculous, but anyone who plays any kind of sports where, like, you know, an element of precision is needed, you know, things like snooker, darts, bowls, you know, anything where it's all to do with, like, your eye and your arm almost, you kind of know. And once you get into that mode, and it must be the same for footballers, right? Once you get into that mode and you're not thinking about your action, you're not thinking about the things which can go wrong, you're not worried about, oh my goodness, but what if this, what if that? Once you're just in a thing, oh my goodness, I am on it here. All you're thinking about is smashing it. And this for me is, you know, is when you look at footballers will take a risk, for example. You know, they'll make a run they wouldn't normally make if they're in form, because they think, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. You know, I'm on the crest of the wave. And if you look let's compare Lingard, okay, you know, or even Iheanacho at the moment to someone like, you know, Werner. If you look at, if you compare their body language, if you compare the runs they make, if you compare the body language after they miss as well, I think that's really important. Werner, every time he misses at the moment, he is not far off. His hand, you know, head in hands.
Looks like on he's going to cry.
Whereas, you know, people at the moment like Kane, Iheanacho, all the people, they're just bang up, right, let's go again.
They'll go, I'll score it next time.
Exactly, that. You know, I think that's massive. And I think, you know, just a couple of other things, you know, in terms of jumping on players early. I do think that a run of good fixtures, I do think that players can play their way into form. So this...
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
This happened to Man City in January. They were on an awful run of form, and then they had this run of 5 or 6 fixtures, which were perfect. It's happening with Liverpool at the moment. I think that is a big thing. You know, I think if you look at Leicester, okay, Leicester are playing well, right? But they've got a run of fixtures now. They can keep on going, you know, even though they lost. I do think looking at underlying stats is important, because I don't know if you listened, Matthew, this was ahead of game week 18, and I said to Adam, have you noticed Gundogan's underlying stats recently have been pretty good? And he laughed me off the pod.
I don't remember that.
You don't.
I'll tell you what I do remember. I do. We were talking about how Davis was essential last week.
We were.
Can't remember Gundogan.
Thank you very much. I do think that's important. And a couple of other things. I do think a change in position.
Gundogan was on that as well, wasn't he?
He was on that.
That little bit of a change, you know.
And I would also say Havertz at the moment is probably... You know, we mentioned Havertz a few weeks ago because the manager said he fancies him in this number 9 role. Now, I mean, a number 9 role for Chelsea, ahead of a good run of fixtures, you will get chances. And he had four shots in the box against Leeds. He was really lucky not to score. He got a goal and assist last week, and only from a fantastic save by Guite, it would have been two goals and assists. It would have been an absolute haul. So I would say that.
He's a good finisher as well. He scored a lot of goals in Germany, so he's not, no mug in front of goal.
Exactly that. And I would also say injury or loss of form to a rival in terms of playing at front. So I would use Lacazette and Aubameyang, in this example as well. We mentioned Lacazette last week and the week before in terms of, wildcard picks. Again, very, very low owned under the radar. But because Aubameyang was just so bang out of form, looked awful, I think that's another thing to kind of look for. So, Adams mentioned, about the body language. I think getting into positions for me, and you can only get that on the eye test. Someone mentioned it earlier in the chat, and absolutely right. Runs in the box isn't really a stat which is captured anywhere. You can only get that by actually watching the match. See someone running in. And Gundogan, just to absolutely milk that example of when I was looking at him, he was making those late runs. He was basically on the penalty spot all the time. And if you're there in a team like Man City to score a lot of goals, you will score goals.
I think I could score a few.
Exactly.
If I stood in the penalty area long enough.
it's slowed down for Gundogan. Do we think it's, and it was always going to, is that because teams have caught on? Is it because of De Bruyne? So I think he's a really good example to use where he's had he had a really hot streak, didn't he? And he's still a very good, incapable player, and he's still making runs into the box, but he's not at the same level as he, which was never going to happen. He was never going to sustain.
No, of course.
I think he's an example to use, maybe if other teams caught on, have players coming back impacted him. So, change of position. Is he less effective? The main man factor, it could have been a big thing where he had to step up more because of the... So he's actually quite a good example to use to sort of back up some of the things that we've
talked about. He probably went under the radar a bit for other team, for opposition, like you said. But now that teams are going to be targeting him, watch Gundogan's runs into the box.
Yeah, sort of adapted.
Opposition's caught on a little bit. And obviously they're probably prioritising Champions League now anyway, so his minutes are going to be very flaky.
And I think another thing is motivation. So I've mentioned
massive.
I think the Euros, for example, if you look at players like Alexander Arnold, so since he got dropped for England, he's matching the form now of last year. Not probably just because of that, but I watched him again earlier, and how he didn't get an attack in return. His balls in were absolutely fantastic. He for me, if you don't own Trent, I think you need to find a way of getting him in because he looks insane value. Also, players like Mount. Mount, for example, and Chilwell, and Foden, Grealish, if he comes back. But all these players, are kind of on the cusp maybe or trying to break into that England 11, or a different sort of country's 11. I think that's like a really big sort of a thing to look at.
And obviously team motivation becomes a massive thing this time of season, doesn't it?
Massive.
There aren't that many teams that have got a lot to play for in the Premier League now. It's the ones sort of battling for top four. And the ones trying to stay up, the teams that you really want to be targeting. And I suppose a lot of the popular players, are in those teams at the moment.
There is. And if you look, you've got West Ham, Chelsea, Leicester. All kind of, battling
Liverpool.
For that four, as you say, Liverpool. And then, you've got West Brom, who have just scored,
eight goals in two games.
Newcastle seem to have turned a corner. Yeah. Fulham were on form, even though they start needing
points desperately now. So, someone from there, come good again, Luckman or whatever.
Yeah. So there's lots of different things. I think, and I do think, it takes a brave move at times to kind of go against template almost and just go, do you know what? I'm gonna go for Havertz, for example. The horse hasn't bolted the habits now, But no. It seems a lot more obvious now, if that makes sense, because he hauled, yeah. Because he's played. You know,
although I think a few people got him in the other week, didn't they? And then, of course, he was benched, backfired. Yeah. And yeah. Things like that make put you off trying to be different sometimes. You know, should have just followed everyone else. You know, it probably leads on to our next topic.
It does. just to find the final point, just to wrap this up, you mentioned at the start about if we didn't have all these preconceptions of Lingard, that we might think of him differently. Well, Diogo Jota has got exactly the same amount of goals and exactly the same, give or take, 0.1 or 0.2 over performance this season. Yet Lingard has had, he's been getting pelters about form and all of that. Jota, no, I've not seen many people mention, the fact that he's overperforming by a similar amount. And that actually, I think last season, he was about 5 goals under what he should. I think he had next year of about 12 and he scored 7. So I think it's interesting, the point you make at the start, that we're sort of looking at Lingard and thinking, well, he's not really done this before. He's not gonna keep it up. But I think it's feasible for him to keep up a similar level. Maybe not 2 attacking returns every game, but I think he can keep the momentum going to the end of the season.
It's for his price as well, right? For 6.3 million, is he, or something yeah, like that? Exactly. All you want is a goal or assist every other game. And that's your value there, really. I think,
he's going up in price every time I log in.
I think he is, right. As Matthew mentioned there, we will move on to our next topic, which is around discussing groupthink and influence. So on screen, we have the Game Week 31 wildcard ownership, courtesy of Live FPL. I must say, this squad does look very familiar.
Yeah, here we go. It does, actually. Like
what do you think, Adam? Do you think it's familiar?
What I would say, I don't even know what I'm going to say.
I know what I'm
saying. Just to be clear, my team is the template.
15 out of 15, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Obviously, when I was wildcarding, I had all of this information of who would be the template players. Yeah, for me, and I think we did the ownership pod, didn't we, a couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
And I genuinely am not too fussed with ownership, and when I was picking it, there was just so many logical decisions. I think a lot of other managers followed suit. So I was on Twitter a little bit, but not enough to be influenced. If anything, where most of my influence come from was the pod the week before. But I thought, I can't have Davis. That's embarrassing. So
He's worth a hit, mate. He's worth a minus 4.
But I think when you look at it, if you're just quickly looking at the template, Chelsea goal, double Chelsea defence, well, they're incredible value and arguably the best defence in the country, or one of the best defences. Offering brilliant.
You're going to wait from your mic, Adam. Sorry, you're going to wait from your mic.
Yeah, sorry. They've got incredible value. Offer good, 4 or 5 fixtures. So I think that's fine. We've talked about Trent and Shaw, the best 2 attacking defenders. Holding and Cody, good value, great fixtures. They're just, for me, they're all no-brainers. We look at that midfield, and it's hard to argue. A lot of people, double Liverpool makes sense, I think, with the fixtures, and they're the sort of the 2 best attackers there. Bruno, Lingard and Son. I think we've talked enough about Lingard, so I go about him, but Son's got a double game week, and Bruno's been arguably the best FPL player this season. And then you've got Kane and Iheanacho, which, have both been in really, really good form. So for me, I just think this team almost picked itself. And I think I have seen people go away from it and try different things. But I think the only person who's missing from it, who I would have considered but didn't because of the European football, was Lacazette. And I think Lacazette was a really, really good option, but it's always that threat with Aubameyang. And I think we said it last week, they'll prioritise Europa while they're still in there. So I don't regret not going for Lacazette, but he was probably the only one thinking about it, actually.
But also, Lacazette started on the Thursday night, didn't he, in the Europa? And Aubameyang was on the bench. And that's probably one of the main reasons why he completely, dropped it on the course, to be honest.
It was that doubt, yeah.
And then he had Aubameyang had the flu on the, we found out on the Saturday evening, didn't we? But just in terms, of groupthink and influence then, Matthew, what are your, thoughts? Because obviously, we're in a few chats, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I suggested this topic, didn't I? I thought it was quite interesting. You know, I thought it was incredible how a template formed, not only that a lot of people were wildcard in the same week, but the ones who were wildcard and ended up with very similar teams, you know, not like this one here. So to use another analogy, my daughter watches these YouTube influencers, you know, on beauty products and clothes and things. And
Adam Zoella on Friday night as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Zoella and that, and you know, and they'll say, "Oh, you know, this got this great new product from Lush. It's really good, you know, and all this." And then, you know, you'll be in Chester or whatever, and on a Saturday, and she'll go, "Oh, can we go to Lush? I want to," you know. Now, is she thinking, you know, directly, "Oh, Zoella like that Lush product? Yeah. I'm going to get it." Probably not. But is it influenced her? Yeah. So spend a lot of money, you know. So I think that is definitely a thing in FPL increasingly. You know, the likes of yourselves, FPL General, you know, Mark Southerns, Andy, Let's Talk FPL. You know, that influence and people hearing that, you know, of certain players, and then obviously they're, you know, sharing that on social media. And then does it become groupthink? Or, like, to what extent has everyone individually picked this team, you know, because they're the logical players to pick? Yeah, well, it's hard to know.
It is interesting. And I think about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I made the decision that I'm going to spend a lot less time on social media.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch less games. And I'm going to try and do, just to, because I wasn't having a brilliant season. And I listened to the Surgery pod earlier, actually. It was really good about if you're having a bad season and some things to do. But I'd stopped going on to it because I felt I was probably being influenced a little bit too much, but not obviously. So it was getting into my subconscious, and you know, you just read things that. So I made a decision to go away from it and actually put my team together. It didn't take long at all, purely because I felt there were a lot of obvious picks. And I think actually I had a lot of them in terms of the main three or four already in my team. Hence why there was a little bit of reluctance to wildcard. But the process that I followed is, who do I want to own and who would I, you know, it was almost like what Fergie said, actually, who would I fear and think, do you know what, why have I not got them in my team? And I did it really quickly. I thought, well, I need double Chelsea defence, because if they keep a clean sheet, I really want to benefit from it. And actually, I fancy them too, and they're cheap enough. I thought with all the points, I thought Trent's got to be in there. I've got to go double Liverpool. I'm not going to sell Jesse Lingard, because if I do, it's going to bite me, because I owned him already. So there were so many. And then obviously you've got Kane, and I thought Kane and Son have to be in there if I've wildcarded. So there were just so many players that picked themselves. I do think, however, the point that you raise is valid. And there are so many people that talk about ownership, talk about effective ownership, worry if they don't have a certain player because of ownership. And it does push you towards that groupthink mentality. You know, let's all do this and we're all in it together. Let's all captain this.
Mm. Yeah,
and that was one of my reasons for thinking. I've left quite a lot of some of the larger groups that I was in, because I wanted to have my own. I wanted to be clear for the pods when I'm doing that, but I also wanted to be clear on what I'm doing each week for my team, because I just found I found personally, and this backs up your point, my judgment was just becoming so clouded week on week, I think it's a lot of and I think the reason somebody just put in there about I go away from Twitter and I get 15 out of 15. I did post that I got 15 out of 15 purely because I thought it was quite funny, and I didn't really care what people come back with, because I was happy with the 15 I picked. Give or take, I think the only two that I was debating about were Cody and Holding, and I was maybe looking at a couple of other players, but my lineup is pretty much going to be would have been.
They're quite cheap though, aren't they? They're almost
filler
players, you know. That
yeah, exactly. So I think Cody was the one I could have gone gone different on. But it wasn't, for me, it didn't have, I didn't worry about what other people were doing. And I think that's a way that I tend to do better at the game. But there's others that thrive on ownership, thrive on the group thing, can do well out of it. So it's a tough one.
I also think that the group think has improved massively over the last year or two, with the introduction of data and things.
But
I don't know, about you guys. I know you've both been playing a very long time. I've been on forums for a long time, right? Things like, FISO and Facebook groups, and obviously Twitter now has just absolutely exploded. You've got Reddit, you've got all these different forums and groups. But years ago, I'm talking like 5 or 6 years ago almost, right? If you were into fantasy football and you chatted on groups with other like-minded fantasy football managers, you were just a geek. You were just oh my god, you were an outcast. You sounded weird. I used to talk to friends and say, I follow this group, and they would ask me about what move I'm making in FPL, and I'm doing this. I said, have you seen this, or have you listened to this podcast or whatever else? And they're like, you go on and all this kind of stuff. Whereas now, actually, it's very, very mainstream. And if you think of the massive kind of FPL accounts, they used to have a few thousand followers, but it's even more apparent over this last year or two. Look at the general, for example. He came onto Twitter 3 or 4 years ago. Perhaps started off with zero followers. And even
the most people do, don't they?
All right, smart. But my point is, even then, the big accounts, the websites and everyone only had a few thousand sort of followers, right? He's now close to like 150,000 followers.
Crazy!
It's absolutely nuts. Andy, Let's Talk FPL. His kind of YouTube subs. And you look at the big sites, right? The hubs, has increased from something like 20,000 to 75,000 inside a year. It's just exponential, massive growth.
Don't you think COVID and lockdown has ironically helped fantasy football, because it's become one of the few outlets that people can have to get away from the humdrum of doing nothing? I think that has had a positive effect on fantasy football, although it's had a negative effect on most other things.
No, it has. I think you're right there. But I think the point I'm getting to is that it's just become much, much more mainstream. A few years ago, there was 3 million players, 5 or 6 years ago. We've touched over 8 million players now. There's so much content everywhere you look. Even the main, kind of website. You can go on BBC Sport and get fantasy football tips. You can go in, in the Daily Express, in all the newspapers, all have fantasy football tips.
Even the Telegraph's got a column, I believe.
They have a fantastic one. The best writer around. But I suppose the point is that a lot of people now can very quickly, due to data and due to the mass amount of content out there, they can very quickly come to the same conclusions as everyone else. And if you look at this wild card, for example, as Adam said, I got to be honest, I hadn't looked at Cody, right? But it's only because Adam mentioned, he mentioned Cody to me in the chat. I said, why is Enders really interested in Cody? And and then I had a look, and there was a gap. I may need him in 33. I thought, it's right. Now, I didn't think of Cody. Adam thought of Cody. I don't know if Adam got him independently or not, but that's an example of group think.
And it's a and very all it small takes, example, and that's multiplied
this is
hundreds
it.
And thousands of times.
And all it takes is for me to then put my team on Twitter and other people to put their teams on Twitter, and everyone then starts asking themselves the same sort of question. So, in terms of group think and influence, I do think it's definitely there. However, I would say that I do think it has, and it's so hard now to get a top finish, like Matthew, I hope you don't mind me, I'm saying, but over the years, this is your worst season in quite a while. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Or even ever, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, I think that is a bit of a problem, actually, that this top 10K thing is stuck. From about 10 years ago has been a good finish. Yep. But there's probably 100 times the amount of engaged. Informed managers now than there was 6, 7, 8 years ago. So, really, 10k then is probably now 50k or 100k, but you know, people are still getting upset because they're not finishing top K, including myself. You know, but you know, only so many people can finish top 10k, around 10,000. So,
but then you know, if you just think, you know, I just use the example, you know, of the general has got 150,000 followers. Now, yeah. So you're competing against 150,000 people who all follow FPL General, you know, are likely kind of look at his team and follow his moves. And it's massive. It's the same fancy football hub. It's the same with everywhere. You're now competing instead of a few thousand geeks, you know, in apostrophes.
You're now dealing with
You're now dealing with hundreds of thousands informed, passionate managers. And I think it's just a mathematical.
Like, you know, years ago, you could look at your mini, you know, your work mini league, and you'd look at other teams and go, ah, see, they don't know there's a blank coming up.
Yeah.
You know, now you look through it and they're like, ah, damn, they all know. You know.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
I think next year we should just do a podcast and make up a blank or double game.
Make one up.
Yeah, try and get
I'm convinced if Ben Krellin made one up, I think we could get that.
What are your influences, Matthew, you know, in terms of what do you use and what do you not use, I suppose, in terms of helping you to make decisions?
I mean, one thing I do, which I suppose is along the lines of what Adam was saying, is because I do my weekly article on Fantasy Hub, as you know, because you always review it. So I try and do that like early in the week, you know, so after the usually when the game week's just finished, I'll sort of try and do it straight away before I really look much on Twitter or anything like that. Yeah. So, you know, it is trying to keep clean of my own thoughts. You know, and as you know, I have that most wanted list. So I think, like, who haven't I got that I would want? And it's quite a small list, isn't it? It's usually like 3, 4, 5 players. And then I'll sort of look at my team and, you know, who might I want to take out. And then it's a matter of almost matching the two up. Well, I want to get rid of this midfielder and I want that midfielder. So, okay, that's an option. You know, I want this striker, but I don't want this striker. So that, okay, that's another option. I could combine the two for a hit. You know, that type of thing. I do look at stats as well. So I look at things like, I've started sort of warming more to XG, but I do think you have to combine it with things like the player quality and, you know, the confidence and form, you know, and obviously and fixtures as well. So I do, I've got this sort of spreadsheet that I do update each week with some key metrics and a sort of maybe like an algorithm.
I was just about to mention that because I remember seeing it.
Algorithm is really a fancy good. Word. but it's just stuff like that, and then obviously like you said, combine it with the eye test as well, because you will, you know, that'll pick up things that you wouldn't see just through stats. I think even the problem is now, because there's so much live football, you know, you can't watch all of it, but even like Match of the Days will give you good, you know, some good points. So obviously they're showing the, you know, the key sections of the game, you know, the attacks and stuff like that.
But a question for you, Adam. You know, in terms of the way that FPL has changed over the years, or kind of, you know, progressed or evolved over the years, do you think that, you know, your style of play needs to evolve with it? You know, in terms of football, I'll use an example. So, double game weeks years ago, many teams used to play the same team in both games, which they very rarely do anymore, especially teams who are in Europe, right? So I'll use that example. But, you know, in terms of thinking about that, do you generally still approach decisions and, you know, and players and transfers the same way, or, you know, or do you think you've evolved, or do you think you need to evolve?
I think the first thing is every season's different. You do need to be adaptable. And I think we always, and I see it so much, people always try and make rules or, you know, or they try and make FPL scientific, which is making football scientific. It just isn't. And the reality is every single season can be completely different. There's so many COVID's another dynamic that's come into it, the behind closed doors. So I think there's the constant need to evolve and change your way of thinking and be open to new ideas. I think in terms of the decision-making process, what I would say is I feel I've learned more this season than any other season. And the way I've learned it is where things have gone wrong. It's a season that I've struggled for the majority of the season. And it's been because I've always struggled to find out what is my actual FPL start. And I think I adapt usually fairly well and I change and I'm usually not that stubborn. But some seasons I've taken loads of hits, others I haven't. So I think I've shown a mix of different styles. But I think this season, one of the things that I've learned is I can't cope when I'm in a format where I'm getting loads and loads and loads of opinions thrown at me, loads of ideas. And I don't have the ability to digest that information and make logical decisions. All it does is cloud my judgment. Yep. And I think what I found has worked really well is similar, like Matthew writes his article, I'll just go for a walk on one of the mornings early in the week, and I'll just and rather than listening to anything, I'll just think through all of the scenario, and then I know at least I know what my thoughts are, not what so and so is put on. And I think it's such an important thing. I think to be clear in your own mind. The thing that loads of teams get posted, and I'm fine looking at them, but the one thing that people you always see the end position of the team. What you don't always see is the starting position visually, if that makes sense. So actually, this person, they might have the perfect team, but they've taken a -8 to get there. And I think everybody's team is unique. Everyone's got a unique ID for a reason. So I think the best thing to do, I think FPL general, Mark talks about this as well. Just focus on your own team, forget everyone else. And I think, you can, as we've talked about a lot here, it's so easy to get influenced. But at least if you know what your thoughts are, you then know really if you've been influenced or not, don't you? So,
yeah, because I suppose that's the other sort of half of what I do, because I've done that article and thought about what I think I'm going to do. But then, then I'll sort of see as the week goes on and I do see stuff, does that change what I was thinking originally? I see something that is persuasive, I will be stubborn and go, well, I'm just going to do this. Sometimes it will change, or, someone will put in the comments on my article, have you thought about this? And I'll think, no, I haven't actually. And then, I'll look at it. You've got to be
open as well. Yeah, I think stuff like that is absolutely fine. It's fine to be challenged.
Like Cody, who I think, you said before, you wouldn't have thought of that. Someone planted it. He's looked into it and said, yeah, actually, I can see that.
But I think the difference is that rather than engaging with thousands of people and looking at the, I think it's good to have a few people that you trust
their opinion. Trusted circle.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, what Fergie's mentioned there, it's happened the other way as well a few times. And I think, that's really important. I do want to come to a comment in the chat, like I always do. So Sanjay Patel, I'm not letting him get away with this. So let me just scroll upwards. So he talks about me copying the top 10K template team. Just to be clear, this is for wildcards. I possibly couldn't have known those percentages or anything before. So I haven't copied anyone. I've talked through my decisions. I felt were logical.
Purely coincidental.
I wasn't influenced. Even Fergie said he's been influenced by me. That was me putting Cody in.
Adam copied my wildcard and then stuck in Cody. And between us, we've got to the right team.
Exactly. But all jokes aside, it was a team. I put it together really quickly. And in a way, I found that quite useful as well. Just who do I not want to be without So I was only really having to pick four or five players. So it was actually quite easy to... I've narrowed down my decisions quite a bit. But
I think you're right. You know, find, you know, people that you trust, you know, and, you know, whether it's this podcast or, you know, another podcast or, you know, my article or someone else's article.
Nice plug.
You will get those ideas and, you know, suggestions, which you can then look at and, you know, put your own spin on it, or, you know, you apply those ideas and principles, if you like, to your own opinions.
Yeah, I read yours and a lot of the other Hub contributors' articles every week.
Oh, thanks. Because didn't you say, Fergie, that you by being sort of having to review all the articles as part of your job, you know, you pick up a lot of good information that way.
Absolutely, and it's not so much, you know, the kind of player picks, you know, itself, but it's the strategy and mindset of players.
Process.
I'm really fortunate, you know, I get to review yours. Rich Clark's, Heisenberg's, yeah. Abdul's, yeah. Will's, I mean,
I read other people's as well.
Yeah, you know, and it's just,
you just copy the best, don't you?
You know, I enjoy Rich the way he sort of always tells a story.
They're absolutely fantastic.
You know, Chris Tan's captaincy article. I don't use it as much for captaincy, but I like the way he'll call how he thinks the game's going to play out.
Exactly.
And, you know, so there's a lot more to it, like I said in my tweet today, than captaincy. It's
The kind of reason I like reading them is one, I'm happy to admit, and this is not for everyone, right? I like to follow the advice of players who have consistently high finishes. Now, I know that's not popular in the FPL community, and I can understand why. And if it's not for you, absolutely fine. That's the way I like to play. This is why I like to talk with Adam. This is why I like to read your article, Rich's articles, all the managers on the Hub. Are fantastic, fantastic experienced fantasy football managers who get consistently high ranks practically every season. And that, for me, I enjoy reading the process. And a lot of the time, the process is around discipline. You know, and it's a very slow disciplined approach. You know, it's getting in the core players, not jumping on the next big thing, all this kind of thing. And they're the kind of things I like to listen to, right? And kind of read. Whereas I know that's not for everyone, but
I think
jam packed full of that information.
And I think knowing the sources that you trust as well. So like we talked about the Hub articles. I think there are some other good articles that you read every week. There might be a couple of podcasts you listen to.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Southern's, you know, he's been doing it for years and years. And, you know, the way he can read football, you know, I think it's amazing. You know, sorry to plug the, you know,
we mentioned Black Box on here.
I think, you know, you can learn a lot from other people. You know, don't, you know, never think that you can't learn and improve, but.
Apologies, Adam. Did you have something to say then?
Nah, nothing else to say.
Nah. Okay, so we couldn't have one of the best FPL managers of all time on with us and not get some tips the remainder of the season. So on screen, we have the Hub's highest predicted point scores the rest of the season, courtesy of our members' prediction tool. So we've got this Salah. According to this, is going to score the most points at the end of the season, followed by Harry Kane, Sadio Mane. And I would say, I did watch Mane earlier, and he should have got something earlier. I do think Mane has got, you know, a part to play, because generally when Trent plays well, he tends to feed Mane, and opposite then, kind of Robertson tends to feed Salah a bit more. So I do think that, you know, Mane's got a part to play. Anyway, Trent is fourth and Jota is fifth. Unsurprisingly, four Liverpool players due to their fixtures in the top five. And then sixth is Bruno Fernandes, seven Heung-Min Son, eighth Jamie Vardy, ninth Marcus Rashford and 10 Bamford. But Matthew, I just wanted to ask you, you know, how do you think the season will play out now? And have you got any, you know, any player tips for the rest of the season?
Well, I don't think it'll be wildly different to the template wildcard that people have put in there. Motivation, you know, is starting to become a massive thing with those teams. So before this evening, I've updated my algorithm, which sort of takes the sort of elements, some of the stats that I like looking at together, and sort of you know, put a bit of a formula on it and things like that, and add it in with fixtures, and I've added in motivation as well. And the top three, so this would be now and the whole rest of the season in terms of fixtures. Would you like to guess who the top three are?
Oof, what, of players for everyone?
Yeah, so players, out of all the players for all teams, who I think will do best between now and the end of the season, based on my
algorithm. So top 3 point scorers in your algorithm between now and the end of the season.
I think Salah and Trent have to be in there personally.
Salah's number one.
Okay. I think Kane would be in there.
Kane's number two. And number three, we've talked about him a lot.
Jesse Lingard.
Yeah, and this doesn't take price into account whatsoever.
Jesse Lingard, flipping it.
Yeah, he's coming in at three, yeah.
Wow.
Aspilicueta, four, and Trent, five. So I think that seems quite logical. So, you know, it's not beyond what we would have probably said off the top of our heads, is it?
No Keenan Davis?
He's sadly not in the top 100. No, I don't know. He's way down, yeah. So...
All sounds pretty template to me.
So it does.
You know a lot about that, Adam.
I love do exactly.
So I think like my team looks okay. There's a couple of omissions, you know, like Lingard and Ian Astro, but I'm bringing him in this week. I brought him in actually. So I think, you know, it's not far off. And of course, I'm hoping that there's a bit of chaos. So we'll get through this week in 33. You know, the small double, small the blank. Yeah. And you know, I'm hoping that some of the chaos that Ben Crellin's talking about does come to fruition. You know, may or may not, we don't know yet. If they want to try and get some crowds in.
What's the... It'd be interesting, because I've not seen Ben's latest tweets.
I see.
Yeah, hence what a wild card, and maybe I've missed out on a great opportunity.
I don't think he's being very exact about it, as he mentioned, which teams. I think he's just saying that they may try and... you know, let teams have some crowds in if COVID goes well, and that may involve sort of moving some fixtures around, so we could end up with some doubles and blanks, which, you know, that's kind of what I'm hoping for by keeping my wild card, that I can capitalise on that. But we'll see. I probably landed about 20 points off a typical wild card team this week. In hindsight, maybe, you know, if I could have known Lingard and Iheanacho were going to, you know, smash it this week, I maybe would have wildcarded, but it wasn't the end of the world, I think, 20 points. But 20 points is probably a decent use for a wildcard anyway. So,
yeah.
I think you got two plays. You either think, well, do you know what? Damage limitation, I'll get on all those players a week later or you think, do you know what? The next opportunity, because I think 31 was always a good opportunity. The next opportunity is 35, 36. And I think I think the sensible thing to do is not to just react and think, do you know, because you'll gain no advantage by that. I think it's gaining the advantage when others...
Exactly. The other thing is, I've still got my bench boost, which like makes me think.
Oh my!
I can maybe set up for that. So what, you know, wild card and use that the next week to maximise that. And I've got triple captain, which I'm using this week, I think.
Bloody hell! You got some chips left.
So I was sort of using Adam yourself as like a benchmark, really, because before this week, I think you were about 10 or so points ahead of me. So we'd be quite similar for a while. And I sort of think, well, let's see how we end up at the end.
That's
see which strategy was best in the end.
That's interesting. Good. It's an interesting way of thinking about it. I think it's because it's always quite hard to work out. You have to work out which strategy would have prevailed.
Yeah,
so
it's a bit.
It's a good way of thinking.
Sliding doors type of thing. I think we've got, to be honest, like you said about which players. I think we've got so far into the season that, you know, you're not going to pull many rabbits out of the hat at this point. You know, the players who are popular for a reason now. Iheanacho coming to prominence, you know, very recently. Lingard, obviously, with his loan move. Are there going to be many others of them? I mean, just looking...
I think I got a couple of rabbits. So I would...
Castagnier, maybe, something like that.
I think I've got a couple of players... most of them scored this weekend, which is, you know, maybe a bit handsy. But again, kind of looking at what we talked about earlier around, you know, players moving forward now, jumping on players before they just bang for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at the thing of, you know, four-man fixtures, injuries to key players, all this sort of stuff. Yeah. So, you know, and I don't mean build a team on all this, right? Obviously, this, like, for me, the kind of structure of an FPL team is you have your 9 or 10 players, which you think are the, and then you can afford to have a punt on a player, right? I think Havertz and Pulisic, I think, are both very, very valid punts. I also think Bowen at West Ham, you could even do a double with Lingard or do instead of Lingard.
Yeah. They're both cheap as well, so
they are.
No problem there.
A couple from United, I think Cavani and potentially Greenwood. I know with Cavani.
What about Pogba? Might be
he could be a shout.
Because he's been playing a bit on that attacking sort of left-hand side role.
Yeah.
And he looks brilliant in it. You know, he always seems to look better there than when they try and put him in, you know, a pivot midfield role.
Agree.
I'd agree with all your rabbits. And I think Eduardinho has just put Pereira in there from West Brom. I think West Brom have got it. The next three fixtures for West Brom will decide if they've got any chance of staying up. And I think they've got Leicester, who will have just played in the FA Cup semi-final. And, you know, coming off a bit of a a disappointing defeat to West Ham. They've then got local derbies versus Villa and West Brom. So Villa and Wolves, sorry. So they're going to be so up for those games.
They'll be tasty games, yeah.
Well, if they can get something against Leicester, I mean, and the performances in the last two have been absolutely...
All Midlands derbies.
Yeah, well, exactly. All Midlands derbies. So I think Pereira, Callum Robinson is another shout as well from West Brom, who's slightly cheaper.
Yeah,
Diagane's missed a lot of chances. And I think what was interesting is we talked about all the form and confidence at the start. I don't know if you saw Sam Allardyce's comments about the offside for Diagane when he was ruled offside when he clearly wasn't by VAR. And he actually talked about, you know, he's a goal scorer. He thrives on goals. This will impact his confidence, even though we've gone on to win. I saw him down in the dressing room after. So maybe it's a bit of propaganda from Big Sam, but I think it was interesting he mentioned that.
He looks a decent striker, actually. You know, he looks, you know, a good Premier League type of striker.
I think they've set themselves up now that they've got a competitive team. They attack quite fastly as well. They've got a bit. I think is it too late possibly, but you know, interesting. I'd like to see them give it a go anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Interestingly, Adam, we called out Matheus Pereira in game week 25. You know, for the game week 26. Yeah. Remember the double game week in 26? And again, thinking of this period of points, right? He didn't do anything in 26-27. But I saw a stat earlier that Pereira, since game week 26 up until game week 31, I think he's something like the third... I'm going to get this wrong because I'll get pulled up. I'm sure I saw a stat. He's something like the third highest scoring midfielder in that... You know, in that period, and that's the point I try and make every single week. Around you don't buy a player for a game week or two. You buy them for a period of fixtures, and his fixtures are really nice, as well as the double. So it is mentioned that.
I think the problem is most people that would have had him would have probably sold him before the Chelsea game.
But that's
bad luck. But
a couple of other ones. FPL Geordie has said Saint Maximin. I'm not sure what their fixtures are like, but. He looked electric when he came on.
He's a great player, isn't he? When he's on form,
they've got. I think Newcastle have got tough fixtures. They've got two. They've got two decent ones. The last two of the season, but I think they've got fairly tough fixtures coming up, from what I remember.
Another one. So the last one in my list, and this one may get laughed at a little bit, which I can understand, and it's fairly obvious because he scored on the weekend, right? But looking at Wolves' next few games, Adama Traore. If you talk about confidence player.
I thought you were going to say William Jones.
No, but he, you know, he's the epitome of a confidence player, right? Traore.
Yeah,
he could go on a run now. So if you're looking at a Wolves attacker, nice and cheap, you know, he could be one as well.
It's a shame Fabio Silva's not getting more starts because I really like him as a player.
I agree with that.
Right, yeah. such good movement, and it seems to be all the good stuff seems to happen when he's on the pitch. So,
I was thinking the other day though, it's like amazing when you think like last season, you know, who Wolves would have had available, you know, Jota, Jimenez, Neto, who's now injured, Doherty. Gone,
Otto. He's injured. Yeah,
Otto, Otto on the left. You know, all that talent that's now not
what
in the
team they had last year. It's unbelievable.
You know, it's going to be difficult. So you kind of wonder whether they're going to slide a bit. It's going to be. I don't know.
Some shouts in the chat for William Jose Silva never starts. Joel Easley Davis. Come on.
I've got a feeling for Reece James is one I've got a bit of a feeling
it's just,
over.
It's just he doesn't start, but I've noticed that if he doesn't start, he comes on. And this is the problem with him. You'll get a one-pointer.
So you can't go like, well, I'll have a decent sub because you might not get that opportunity.
If it's someone like Rudiger or Cancelo maybe,
if
they're benched, they don't come on. But I've noticed that Reece James and Aspilicueta, the both of them, they always come on.
There's bound to be a Man City player that absolutely smashes it. You know, Mahrez, perhaps. It's just knowing that who's going to play in the Premier League versus
problem with City, if you look at their next few fixtures, they've got the FA Cup semi-final.
Yeah.
The League Cup final.
They're on all fronts, aren't they?
Yeah, they've got... And I think the league fixtures are almost getting in the way. I mean, they'll have to make sure they're not complacent and don't mess up. Stranger things have happened, haven't they? But I don't think they will do.
It'd be like a Devon Locke, if anyone remembers that from the Grand National years ago when he collapsed.
We've had some shouts off Peacebox, Hyde and Summers saying, Traore, one goal in 30 games. So does that mean he's going to score one more goal the next 30 games? Is that how football works? Is it? I don't think it is.
Yeah, he might get another goal before the end of the season.
That's not much confidence. His next four games are as good as they get. They got 3 out of 4 at home, I believe, and they are superb. So the next four now: Sheffield United at home, Burnley at home, West Brom away, Brighton at home. You can't ask for four better attacking fixtures than those.
No, I agree on Troy. I think it's a good option.
Could be worth a punt. Just a punt. So on to our teams. And firstly, we have the Matthews team. You can see a big white circle, Matthew, next to your captain.
Oh, yes.
Do you want to run through it for us, for our podcast listeners?
Yeah, so as I said, I haven't used my triple captainship. You know, there's just not been a week where I thought it felt right, really. And this week, you know, it does, you know, Kane's obviously, you know, one of the best players this season. And he's got two decent fixtures there, you know, plus they've got that motivation because it's sort of getting into last chance saloon for Tottenham, isn't it? You know, I don't think they're in any other competitions, are they?
Okay.
You know, but they want to get into the top four, don't they? And if they're going to do that, then they've got to pretty much win these next two games.
Are you tempted at all to go, I suppose, boom or bust, and captain Son? Because
I saw
something earlier, and I think it's right, is that when they've both returned and started, Son has got more point or more. He's outscored Kane more times than vice versa.
I just trust Son more, and Kane. Sorry, and I think penalties is a big thing, you know, because he could do nothing, and then you know score a penalty, and then he'll probably get the three bonus points.
I think
you know, so that's a factor.
I think
he's also you know completely nailed on famous last words now, but you know.
I think the Son versus the Kane thing as well. If you look at Son's position and Kane's position in the first half of the season, it's completely different now. So Kane was basically playing as, you know, a number 10 and Son was playing, you know, as the striker in the first half of the season, whereas now they have swapped roles. K- Kane is up front at the moment.
He is, and I think
that is a massive part to play.
The other thing is that I sort of quite like the idea that it's almost a guaranteed benefit from using the triple captainship, because you know most people are going to be captaining him, so it just means I get another 50% on what everyone else is getting. Whereas if I went Son and you know Kane did well, then I can pretty much forget any decent finish.
I think you should be how you set up. Have you taken any hits to get that team?
No, I've just brought in Astro in for Bamford.
Are you tempted to bring in Lingard for a hit?
I was tempted, but I just can't see. I don't think I could afford him for Souček. I can't see another move that would likely, you know, make me that 4 points up, you know, because Jota and Salah leads, you know, that could be profitable. Fernandes, you know, Burnley at home, Son obviously got the double. You know, I can't see that Lingard beating those by 4 points, you know, if you ran the game week 100 times kind of thing. But obviously when you run it once, you probably will.
You need Keenan Davis. You need to take a -8, do Watkins to Davis, and Souček up to Lingard. That's what you need to do.
That'd be taking 8 points.
Exactly.
So wiping away your advantage.
I'm pretty much going to stick with that unless something strange happens.
I think you're good for a green arrow this week. I think just your triple captaincy.
Hopefully, I mean, I'm kind of hoping that this is, you know, it's going to be greens all the way now. But, you know, obviously I always hope that. But, you know, with the chips I've got left, you know, I'd hope that it should be a decent finish.
Yeah, but a chip every game week, won't it? From
it feels like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, for our podcast listeners, Matthew Martinez in goals, Dallas, Phillips, and Stones at the back, Jota, Salah, Bruno, Son, and Souček in midfield, and Iheanacho and Kane.
Yeah, sorry.
It's fine.
I should have mentioned the other players.
Just for the podcast listeners, that's all.
I mean, I'm slightly tempted for Watkins ahead of Souček. You know, because I like Watkins as a player. And as someone who I've been, you know, he's been unlucky enough to get more points. But I don't know. I suppose the Newcastle fixture, and you know, he's one of them. If you bench him in that game, he's bound to score a header.
I personally would start Souček over Watkins.
I just think it's a tough fixture, isn't it?
I think City are more likely than not to keep a clean sheet.
And
Watkins will be very unlikely to get bonus, even if he does score. I think his ceiling's probably 6 points because it will go to one of the City attackers.
Souček could easily get a goal.
Exactly. Newcastle have been a little bit vulnerable, I think, in the air as well. So,
he's a player that I hate watching if I've got him on the bench, Souček, isn't he? You know, because when you watch him, he always looks so dangerous, you know, for a central midfielder.
And when he scored the goal a few times in the middle of the season, you know, when he got like the one goal, the winning goal, and the 1-0 win, he was always on for 10 or 11 points. Whereas as Watkins, you know, if he does score, he's probably
you're starting Stones as well, aren't you? So you're gonna
kind of by default that really, whereas I was gonna say when Watkins score, you always like half expect it to be VAR'd off, don't you? You're always going, where's the offside here, or who's tugged someone somewhere else?
Yeah, don't get me started on that. It's painful for a number of reasons.
You just can't enjoy the goal until it's been confirmed.
Sanjay Patel says, skip Adam's team. It's on FPL Live.
I know. I saw. That's why I was laughing from Matthew's team.
It's absolutely brilliant.
My nemesis, Sanjay Patel. He's on.
He gives you a hard time, doesn't he?
I love it. It's good. It's all good. That's He's got a fair
very
point.
Very true. Yeah.
I'm just going to skip onto my team because the graphic's a bit better. But the main reason I'm doing this is because mine and Adam's start 11s are actually coincidentally exactly the same this week, which is quite incredible.
So what happens, just to be clear, I send my team to Fergie to put in there, and he thinks, oh, I'll copy Adam's team.
So we've got Mendy... and Rudiger at the back. We've got Alexander Arnold and Shaw. We've then got Lingard. I've taken a hit to get in Lingard. Obviously, Adam hasn't. So Adam will be saving a transfer.
So he's going to beat you this week, isn't he?
Well, yeah, he is. Oh, do you know what? He is. Yeah, you're right. Jota, Bruno, Son and Salah. Kane captain and Iheanacho. So the only difference is they're on our benches. So my bench is Cody, first sub. You know, home to Sheffield United, probably nailed on as clean sheet as you can get. But I can't really squeeze him into my team. And I've got Dallas and the legend, which is Keenan Davis in third sub. Whereas Adam's bench, you've got Holding, first sub, Adam. Cody, second bench. You've got an even better bench than I have.
I might swap that around. I was.
I was thinking that that's the best defensive fixture of the season.
I think.
And Wolves are fairly dull, really, aren't they? Yeah. You know,
I'm tempted to start Cody over Rudiger, and I think I'd even looked at potentially even Holding over Rudiger as well. And I looked at all of the prediction sites. So, and I just found it interesting that I looked at Hub and FPL Review, both of them. Think Shaw's going to be the top scorer out of the template defence. Yeah. That's pretty nailed on. I think Trent comes in the top three, so he's nailed on.
You've got to play him on that fixture.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But
get clean sheets.
But looking at the other three, Cody comes out top. Both of them.
It's so much of a muchness entry, aren't they?
Yeah, there'll be points bench. Yeah. I think the only other thing to add though is I think Iheanacho he plays in the FA Cup semi final, doesn't he, before he plays on Thursday. So there's possibilities of
Iheanacho. True. I didn't think of that, yeah.
Or fatigue or players getting rested. So there is the possibility of that. I think there is an argument to start Cody over Rudiger, because then are Chelsea guaranteed to keep? I think they probably will. The thing is, I think all five of my defenders could keep a clean sheet, which makes it quite tough. So, that's the only. I might swap Cody for Rudiger.
I think I'm going to stick with Rudiger. I'm trying to keep it simple in terms of thinking that Chelsea have got the best defence in the league at the moment, and Wolves haven't been playing very well. I think I'm just going to try and keep it as sensible as that if I can. But I can understand your point.
When you look at the away attacks, because they're all three of them at home, Sheffield United are some way behind Fulham and Brighton. And it's embarrassingly bad. So they average something like 0.6 or 0.7 XG per game. They've only scored 7 goals in 15 matches. So the logical thing, I think, when you balance it all out, I can see why the models are putting Cody above Rudiger. But this is such a marginal call. I think you can make a case.
Yeah.
I can make a case for Holding Cody or Rudiger. So at the moment Rudiger's got the shirt, but it could change.
This is a really interesting example of where effective ownership and ownership affect a decision as well, right? Because how I think about this is, if I bench Rudiger and I want Cody to play, I'm not going to want a Chelsea clean sheet for Mendy, because so many people are doubled up and trebled up, right?
Whereas, okay, that's a good point, yeah.
Whereas if I then have to have Cody to keep a clean sheet just to keep up with the Chelsea boys. Whereas if Chelsea keep the clean sheet and I'm playing both Mendy and Rudiger, that's in the bank. And I'm confident the rest of my team that I can gain an advantage elsewhere in my team. So that,
I think there's also a possibility. I wouldn't say that Rudiger doesn't play. In which case,
I don't mind that, because I've got a really good first sub, and one of the reasons I picked Rudiger over Alonso and James and everyone else as well is if he doesn't play, he doesn't play.
I wouldn't be that confident of a Chelsea clean sheet there. I think Brighton have been playing quite well. Chelsea's defence has dropped off a little bit to what it was. I don't think they'll keep a clean sheet.
I think they've conceded twice this week, but I know against Palace, it was like their only shot of the game, wasn't it? And I don't think he was too far off with
a bit of complacency maybe in that one.
Maybe, but
I don't know. I feel like I sort of missed the boat a bit on Chelsea defence now. Don't know whether I'd even get one if I was wild carding now, but I might get one just as a hedge. You know, Rudiger probably because he's cheap, but I don't think they're going to keep that many clean sheets now.
I think there's a lot of love for Cody in the chat, and I can see the logic to it. I think this for me, I've sort of put myself in a position where I've got a tough call, but part of the reason for doing it was I'm expecting expecting, particularly for Chelsea, rotation. So I thought I want a good, you know, I want to have good subs, and also I looked at fixtures for 33 as well, but as we talked about earlier. So I really don't think there's much in it between the three of them. And it's a situation where I'd be happy, more than happy to play either of them, because I think they could all get clean sheets. So I'm expecting points on the bench. And we know that when I have points on the bench, they never come on. They're still on the 13 auto sub points.
No. Yeah, I think I had Dallas on the bench. I think a lot of people did.
Oh, no. That's like, yeah. That's,
You just know, don't you? You just know they're not going to come on. You go, I think he was like my first defender sort of thing. But so I was
fairly unlucky, that is.
I was hoping Dunk might get a bit of asymptomatic COVID, but didn't happen.
COVID. Lot of Cody love in the chat. It seems that a lot of people in the chat would go for Cody. Then I'm brave going for no brave to bench Cody. I don't think that's, you know, brave at all. I think it would be braver to bench Rudiger personally, but you know, each to their own.
Keenan Davis,
well,
benched.
I can't believe he's third. I can't believe he's third.
Have you got
backfire?
Have you got so looking at the if you were playing the ownership game and that you talked about, I'm just going back up. Was this just wildcarders, the ownership?
Yes, it was. It was only wildcarders.
Okay, so it's not ownership. But then even just looking at wildcarders, so 64% went with Rudiger. 51% holding, 51% Cody. So there isn't much in it, really.
But also, all those wildcarders will also have the same decision to make this week as well.
And I
can see the majority of them personally picking Rudiger over Cody personally, because of the same reason I am, which is I don't like having a player in Mendy then, where I don't want a Chelsea clean sheet. I just think it's
although I don't like backwards. Doubling up on a defence. I never like doubling up on a defence.
I don't really. Personally, no, I don't.
Because, you know, you just like, once they concede, and you know, it's like, well, you've almost got a red arrow sort of thing, you feel like sometimes, but I don't know.
Relic returns. What's Davis EO? Must be sky high. Absolutely. The love for him is sky high anyway. Moving on, gents. This may be a fairly quick chat in terms of captaincy. Who is the best captain for Tuple Game Week 32? We put a poll up earlier on Fantasy Football Hub. Very, very unsurprisingly. Harry Kane, 81% of the vote. Heung-min Son, 10%. Vardy or Iheanacho got 5%, and Salah against Leeds got 3.7%. Is there any? So I did see earlier a couple of people. I think it was actually, was it Josh from Hail Cheaters? Yeah, say that, you know, if you're not in the top 100 or 200k, then he thought that Son was a no-brainer, really, you know, to obviously try and chase the rank in. I must say I disagree, because I think there's still a lot left in the season. And I think if you did that and it didn't pay off, I think you're gone. Whereas, you know, if you went for Kane, I think there's still opportunities to kind of, you know, to pull it back. Matthew, you're obviously on Kane. You know, is there any argument for anyone else?
I always think with these things, it does come down to a bit on risk appetite as well. So I think I personally think Kane's a better option, but it's, you know, there's not a huge amount in it. It's maybe 55-45, 60-40.
Yeah.
So you know, if you're, but if you've got that risk appetite that you want to, you know, take the risk of big risk, big reward, then, you know, you're not going massively against variance going on Sun, because, you know, there's 40 or 45% chance that he outscores Kane. But I just trust Kane a bit more. And I think having that triple captain makes it easier for me to go with the better option, if you like, you know, rather than trying to chase it through a differential captain.
Adam, any thoughts other than Kane, or is it just a complete no-brainer this week for everyone?
Well, I think Son is in the equation, purely because he has outscored Kane more times than vice versa. And I think it seems a little bit similar to maybe the Rafinha-Bamford situation. And was it game week 25? I don't know. I think Kane is the obvious one to go for, and it will be who will be captaining. But I think there is an argument for Son, definitely. I mean, the last double game week he outscored Kane, didn't he? I think, from what I remember. So I wouldn't be surprised if Son outscores him. I just prefer Harry Kane as a player, and just like him. I just like him when he's having high shot volume, and I think other than maybe the United game, he's been doing that. So yeah, I'll be sticking with Kane. But I think what you said about risk appetite, where there is obviously an opportunity this week. Yeah. It's one of those rare weeks that the captain everyone will be going for. So everyone's captaining Kane. So, like you said, with risk appetite, there is an opportunity that if you went for somebody different, you could
and it pays off. Yeah,
yeah, you could gain on a lot of players. There's obviously the risk side of it as well. But we are coming towards the end of the season, so I think there will be people with a little bit more risk appetite that might want to gamble on Lingard, might want to gamble on Son. I don't think there's any
Salah.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got to remember as well, Spurs' second match, yes, it's against Southampton, and they both did quite well in the reverse fixture, but they also have the League Cup final the following weekend, and I don't know how much that'll be playing up.
Yeah, true.
Mourinho's mind in terms of limiting the minutes of certain players. So,
do you think this could be Kane's farewell tour from Spurs? I've got a feeling he might go.
No, I don't think anybody will pay the money for him. No,
you don't?
I don't. I think that with...
I've got a sneaking feeling United might get... certainly might go for him, because I don't think they'll get Haaland. Well, I might be wrong. You know, he's supposedly his mate, but I can see him going to City. And I can see United going for Kane as the alternative, but I don't know. Just a feeling.
The problem with Kane... He's obviously world class, absolutely brilliant player, but he's going to cost a lot of money, and it'll be, will teams think he's worth the money in comparison to the likes of Mbappe, Haaland,
and other players? And how many years?
So they'd almost have to accept that they're going to have to pay over the odds to get him, because Spurs won't let him go on the cheap. If they'll let him go to a Premier League rival, they might not. They might.
Kane has to go abroad.
Yeah. So I just think with everything that's happened with COVID, United couldn't even get the Jadon Sancho transfer over the line. So it's not as cut and dry that teams will have loads of money to spend.
That will have an impact, won't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame, really, because you'd like to see him play. You know, I'm not saying he's not playing at the top level, but yeah, he's not, is he? You'd like to see him playing.
So was a poor Fergie's loving this Kane leaving chat.
Yeah, you'd like to see him play maybe for the best team in the country. Yeah. You know, put him in the City team. I mean,
you don't want him to be another Matt Lasissier.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think if you put Kane in the City team, that would be. You know, I think...
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yeah. Anyway, right, let's... we're going off track here, so...
Yeah. I just want to say I completely disagree with... I don't disagree with both of you, but I think I've got an argument for all your points on why Kane isn't the best. So Adam, you mentioned earlier that, you know, it's a bit like Rafinha and Bamford. I don't think it is, because Rafinha, in my opinion, was playing better football than Bamford at that time and looked more dangerous, which I don't think that Son is than Kane. I think that, you know, Kane is looking very, very, very dangerous. I mentioned earlier, the first half of the season, Son was playing up front and Kane was in the number 10 role. They have, you know...
It's switched.
Son is now on the left and Kane is up front. Kane's on penalties. I think there's no chance in the world that either get rested, because they have to go for top four. And really good point in the chat as well around Kane's also going for the golden boot as well. You know, I just can't see...
Yeah, that's always a factor. Yeah.
I just think that we're looking for reasons not to go with the obvious. And Edwardinho, for me, actually puts it beautifully. I'm going to pick and choose my battles. And for me, there have been some weeks, and there will be weeks, where the captaincy is completely and utterly wide open. To me, this week is probably the biggest, cut and shut captaincy of the whole season. You've got the best striker in the league playing against one very poor defence and one very average defence. They're the only team with a double game week. He's on penalties. Go for it. If you want to take a risk, by all means, go for someone else. But if Kane scores three goals of the two games and Sons gets something like an assist, your rank is going to absolutely plummet. And another good point in the chat earlier, they said that when Son scores, Kane is generally involved, which hasn't been the case the other way around in the second half of the season. Declan Guppy says, overlooking Davis. Gavinho says, Kane leaves Spurs, they'll sign Keenan Davis.
Still
a lot of Keenan Davis love. But some really good points of conversation there, gents. Our prediction tool predicts, unsurprisingly, that Harry Kane will finish as the top point scorer this week. Hongmin Sun in second, Lloris third, Salah in fourth, and Bruno Fernandes in fifth place. That just confirms what the Fancy Football Hub prediction tool says. Competition time as we approach midnight, gents, for our YouTube watchers. So every week, all our YouTube watchers have a chance to win a Fantasy Football Hub mug. I haven't brought it with me again this week because I would never have a coffee at this time. People who have coffee at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, absolute rogues. They are brilliant mugs, fantastic quality. We're selling these too, along with other Hub merchandise, at FPL Merch. There's a link in the description below, and we're currently running a 20% off discount. So in game week 31, the winner, Stuart Dallas, 17-pointer, and very unsurprisingly, I couldn't see anyone in the chat last week who put Stuart Dallas. If you did put, I did have a look through, I couldn't see him. If you did put it, please flag it up to me, drop me a DM and let me know. No one for Game Week 31. And so for the competition and chance in one of these mugs this week, please like the stream, subscribe if you haven't already, and then comment on who will be the top FPL point scorer in double Game Week 32. It is limited to one entry each. And if there is a tie, we'll do a random draw for the winner. Matthew, as our guest, who do you think will be the top point scorer in double game 32? I would advise, I probably wouldn't go for any of the obvious ones, because a lot of people will go for the obvious ones and then you're down to a random draw.
Gareth Bale,
great pick. Adam, what about you?
I was going to say Gareth Bale.
Oh, really?
I had Gareth Bale and Max. I think he'll definitely play the second game, and I think at home he's done fairly well. I will go for, I like Lucas Moura, I think, is a possibility. I'll go Lucas Moura.
Okay, I'm going to hedge my bets and go for...
Go Son.
No, I'm going for Connor Cody, just in case. At least I win something if he's benched. Just very, very briefly, while we're on that, Joe, we didn't actually ask this, we probably should have. Is it worth having a third Spurs player in for double game week 32? Adam, what do you think? Any obvious option?
I think Lloris possibly, but it just depends on how your team's set up. If you need a keeper, maybe you've got your wild card saved for later. I think Lloris is a good option, and he could do you know, get at least one clean sheet. But I'm not, other than that, I just think if you're going to have to, if you haven't got a wild card, you then got an extra problem in game week 33. So I probably wouldn't.
How about yourself, Matthew?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with Adam. I just think it's all about Son and Kane. And like you said, you're bringing in a player that then isn't playing the following week. Not for me, really. No.
I would agree. I'd say the same. You know, if you are doing it as kind of a 1 week punt, you know, and you know, as you say, you're playing your free hit maybe in 33, or you're playing your wild card. We've had some shouts in the chat for Lloris, maybe a regular. I'll tell you a player I do like. I'm not sure he's a great fantasy option, but Ndombele is such a good footballer. I love watching him play. He reminds me of Dembele, and before him reminds me a little bit of Modric. And I get a bit of stick now for comparing Ndombele to Modric, but being a Spurs fan, you've got these players who just kind of, you know, drift around.
To be fair, you were comparing Keenan Davis to Messi last week.
I know, it's stupid. He's better than Messi.
What's happened to Lo Celso? He looked really good.
He got injured for a couple of months. He's come back. He's played the last couple of games, but he got injured.
Yeah, he looks quite talented.
He does. I agree there. Finally, we take a look at the top of the app at FFH_GreenArrow mini league. Matthew, I'm looking for your name, but you're so far down that I couldn't scroll down enough to find you. In joint 10th place, we had Luka Bubnić and Abdul Hassan. 9th was Harry Jones. 8th was Craig S. 7th, El Kamali. 6th, Tammy Donohoe. 5th, Victor Sandberg. 4th, Douglas Wong. 3rd, Vigard Knutsen. 2nd, Daniel Haynes. Down from 1st, we have a new leader. He scored 68 points this week. Michael Helen, and 2,146 points. Very, very well played there, Michael Helen, indeed. Make sure you join our FPL podcast mini league. There will be a prize for first place, including a guest appearance in our first preseason podcast of next season, as well as a fantasy football fantasy football hub goodie bag. The mini league code is LV24ZG. Or our YouTube watchers can join using the AutoJoy link in the description below. I'm just putting the league code now into the chat. So please join up if you haven't already. So that is a wrap from us, gentlemen. Many, many thanks as usual to all our loyal watchers and listeners for their great questions and comments and interaction. Absolutely fantastic. We really, really, really do appreciate it. Matthew, thanks so much for joining us and sharing your wisdom, your insight, your expertise. Absolutely brilliant, brilliant stuff. We will definitely have you on again in future. You were on a pre-season one, weren't you? We had you on pre-season.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks to everyone watching and in the chat as well.
We will definitely have you on again. Where can people find you, Matthew?
You can find me on Twitter, at FPLMatthew, and yeah, that's where I usually hang out.
And Matthew, don't know, does his team reveal every single week on Fantasy Football Hub for Hub members. Just a reminder, Matthew has got one of the best, if not the best, FPL records ever. And he reveals his team exclusively pre-deadline every single week for Fantasy Football Hub members. Adam, the very best of luck to you for double game week.
Do you know what? I hope you have the best game week you've ever had in your history. You know, if you get a game week rank of one, I wouldn't be anybody who's equally as pleased with our template teams.
Exactly. So. At least I know you can't overtake me this week, which is good.
Wow, you don't know how much sneak Cody into my team. Oh, sneaky, go for it.
Where can people get hold of you?
AHopcroft13 on Twitter.
Fantastic. And my handle is at FFH_Fergie. So this podcast and video will be on the Fantasy Football Hub YouTube channel, with the podcast versions available on all major podcast platforms. If you liked what you watched, please click the like button. Everyone click like. Come on. And remember to subscribe to the channel in the bottom right hand corner of the screen. If you enjoyed your listen, please rate the podcast and leave a comment. Our handles on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok are at FFH_HQ. And our podcast Twitter handle is at FFH_GreenArrow. Please make sure you give us a follow. Our website is fantasyfootballhub.co.uk, where you'll find everything you need for fantasy football all under one roof, including player comparison tools, the fixture ticker, Opta stats, top player team reveals, including Matthew's every week, points prediction tool, which we demoed earlier this evening, and much, much more to join the tens of thousands of other fantasy managers and sign up to Fantasy Football Hub to use all our amazing resources. Just click the top link in the description below for a 7-day free trial. You will not regret it. We'll be back next week looking ahead to blank game week 33. Stay safe and may all your arrows be green. Good night, all.